Breakfast with Ben's podcast, Tim Benz with you, our hockey podcast for this week featuring Pierre Maguire, longtime NHL NBC analyst. He's also a former Pittsburgh Penguins assistant coach and NHL front office representative. Pierre is always on the Mark Madden show on Tuesdays talking hockey. I filled in for Mark on Tuesday afternoon, so I spoke with Pierre about a lot of different topics in the National Hockey League, including some of the surprising results in the league so far. First and foremost, what's going on atop the Eastern Conference standings? Not so much that Buffalo is in first place, but how dominant they've been. Only one loss at home so far, an overtime defeat yesterday against the Vegas Golden Knights. And then there's the New Jersey Devils and how well they've been playing so far, leading the Metropolitan Division with 41 points. Certainly, we get into a lot of Penguins talk as well. We do talk about the Knights, but we start our conversation with some of the surprising aspects of the National Hockey League so far. First and foremost, those New Jersey Devils.
Well, the biggest surprise, I think, would be the New Jersey Devils. I know a lot of people thought New Jersey would be competing for a playoff spot. I don't think a lot of people thought New Jersey would be right at the top of the standings in the Eastern Conference where they are right now with the Boston Bruins, as you said. I think one of the biggest things that's happened there is Jack Hughes has clearly taken another step in his development. He's been insulated very well by Nico Hischier, so they've got a great 1-2 punch through the middle. Their power play has improved significantly. Dougie Hamilton coming over from Carolina a couple summers ago has really helped that. Jesper Bratt has been tremendous for them. And when you really look at it, this is one of the quicker teams in the Eastern Conference right now, Tim. So they're a ton of fun to watch. Their power play, as I said, has really improved. And for whatever reason, teams are having a hard time figuring out how to take some of the pace out of their game.
And from a Penguins lens, Pierre, I think one thing is coming to fruition that a lot of us expected. We're not going to see that fall off a cliff kind of chasm, that break in the line between the playoff and non-playoff teams. It's going to be much more of a dogfight for those two qualifying spots via the wild card at the end, is it not?
It is. I think one of the things, I was talking to an NHL executive just before I came on with you, and he works in the Western Conference. He says, I can't believe how suspect some of our teams are compared to the East. And what you just said, Tim, is spot on. And when you look at the Penguins, and I'll use Saturday night as an example. What really impressed me the most was the way Brian Rust responded in that game, the way Jason Zucker responded in that game, the elevated play of Evgeny Malkin. And then you look, no Christopher Letang. Somebody's going to have to step up, and Pierre-Olivier Joseph's one of those guys that really stepped up. So you look at it, they're finding a way in Pittsburgh to find a different hero every night, and I think that's really important, especially because the Eastern Conference is a little bit top-heavy right now. And I say that in a good way, not a bad way. I think if the Penguins were in the Western Conference, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. They would be a lead pipe cinch to make the playoffs.
And Pierre, let's combine both of those points when it comes to the West and the East. And I alluded to the Bruins earlier. Monday night when Vegas came to town, that was what? Wasn't that their first loss at home of the entire season for Boston?
Yeah, it was. And I can tell you, I watched the entire game, and I was talking again last night with another executive in the league, this time an NHL executive in the Eastern Conference, Tim, and he was saying, wow, this is an amazing competitive game. I said, this is playoff hockey in December. That's what a playoff game looks like. And it really was. Without a little shootout magic by Riley Smith last night, Boston wins that game. And I just got to give a lot of credit to what Bruce Cassidy's doing out there in Vegas. Got to give a lot of credit to Jimmy Montgomery and what he's doing in Boston. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Tim, I did a game between Boston and Calgary. And I was talking to a bunch of the Bruins players, and they said, what's the biggest difference between last year and this year? And they said, it's just that our coaches made it really fun to come to the rink. They weren't taking a shot at Bruce Cassidy. They were just talking about the way Jim Montgomery's presented different solutions for the Bruins in terms of game situation and practice situations and how much fun they're having playing for them right now.
Yeah, and by extension, like you just talked about, with the former Boston connections, Smith and Cassidy with the Knights, it seems like in hockey more than a lot of other sports, just about any sport, Pierre, like change, an injection of change might mean more than tactical and X's and O's. My gosh, we've seen that how many times here in Pittsburgh when instant coaching change has resulted in immediate success, like when Therrien took over and like when Bylsma took over for Therrien and like when Sullivan first took over here in Pittsburgh.
I think there's a lot of validity to that point, Tim. I really do. you know, I'm watching hockey at all levels right now. And one of the things that I find really interesting when I'm watching college hockey is to see how many coaches really make in-game adjustments. And I'm finding that even though a lot of the rosters are pretty similar in college, just because it's very much like this, the NHL, there's not that there's a salary cap in college, but there's only a certain amount of scholarships. There's 18. So everybody's kind of dealing with the same bucket of balls. And it's amazing to me, the teams that make the most in-game adjustments I find in college hockey are the teams that are having a little bit more success than the teams that just try to stay pat. And so energy does matter. And I think when you're making changes that are successful, you find that there's a lot of energy. And I think, Tim, just to put it into a Pittsburgh perspective, Mike Sullivan and his staff, arguably one of the top staffs in the league, maybe the top, depending on what day of the week it is, but they're right in the top five, I'll tell you that. And Mike knows how to stimulate his team. He knows how to stimulate his team on a game-to-game basis, and it makes a big difference energy-wise. It really does.
Pierre McGuire with us talking hockey right now on the Mark Madden Show. Tim Benson for Mark this afternoon. Pierre brought to us by Caliente Pizza and Draft House Duncan, and by Always Safe Flagging and Traffic Control. Back to Vegas for a second, Pierre, because I thought that was a team that was going to fall off a bit this year. I saw their projected point total from some of the betting establishments and win totals, placement. I liked unders on a lot of those for Vegas, and the big reason why was I wasn't sure about their goaltending situation. Logan Thompson's been a nice cure there so far. He's 13-5, a .255 goals against, a .921 save percentage. He's been something for them.
Logan Thompson's a real deal. He really is. And one of the things that makes him so darn incredibly good is how hard he competes. He's an unbelievably competitive person. And you watch him last night in that game with Boston. I mean, he was competing shootout after shootout opportunity. He was big as a house in goal. I mean, he was really, really good. So, you know, you watch him play and you say, okay, how did he end up going there? Well, he ended up there being an undrafted player because he played for the Brandon Wheat Kings in the Western Hockey League. And the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights is Kelly McCrimmon. He happens to own the Brandon Wheat Kings. So he says, you know what, we might need a goaltender down the road. And I got this guy that used to play for me in junior hockey by the name of Logan Thompson. I think we should give him a chance. And by and large, they give him an opportunity. And eventually becomes an NHL goalie for them, and he has played fantastically well. So I totally agree with you.
The Penguins have the Blue Jackets tonight. If you're listening here on the X, play-by-play is at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. A couple guys sick here, Pierre. Gino and Sid are both going through some illness issues this afternoon before the game. Gino skated. Casey DeSmith, who's been ill, the backup goaltender, he skated as well. Sid did not. Sullivan made it sound like they all should be available. They're hoping. Columbus comes in not scoring a ton of goals. I don't expect this to be a whiz-bang affair tonight, but it's one where, let's put it to you this way, for the Penguins, they've got Buffalo two games in a row after Columbus. Yep. This strikes me as an opportunity for them since we're talking about how valuable points are in the East. Hey, get five out of this, right?
Well, if you can get six, it'd be great. The one thing is a Friday night in Buffalo is never easy. I coached a lot of those games when I was in Hartford in particular. Friday night used to be the dreaded 8 o'clock start. They don't have that anymore, thank goodness. But the one thing I'd say is Buffalo on a Friday is never easy. But with Columbus, you can never disrespect your opponent. They're definitely having a hard time scoring. But one guy that doesn't have a hard time scoring is Johnny Gaudreau. So you got to obviously pay attention to him. And I think the biggest thing is to try to get after their defense. The defense is really depleted due to injury, not having Zach Werenski, not having Nick Blankenberg there. They've been decimated. You remember a couple of years ago they traded away Seth Jones. So that defense is not nearly as good as it once was. It's a lot of it's because of injury, which is unfortunate for them. But I don't think Pittsburgh will allow that. I mean, don't disrespect your opponent. But this is an opportunity before they play Dallas. This is an opportunity for them to really put some points in the bank.
Since you last spoke with Mark, Pierre, the Penguins went out and beat Vegas. We just talked about them a lot. No Chris Letang. St. Louis, they played them next. Got a win against them, 6-2. Yep. Again, without Chris Letang, he's skating. The issues that he's dealing with when it comes to battling strokes is one that everybody is paying attention to here in Pittsburgh. I think it's been a shot in the arm for the team to stay afloat without him. And I think as well to see him skating and working out the way he normally does so as to maybe assuage some of the concern that might exist that this is going to be like last time. I know a lot of people are wondering, boy, are they talking too bold about him coming back quickly and this not being as bad? There was a lot of that discussion after the initial diagnosis, Pierre, but all signs are pointing in the right direction, thankfully, for Chris Letang so far.
Well, I'm just hoping, you know, for him just to have a normal life. And if hockey can kick in and be part of that, that's fantastic. But he's, you know, he's a father and he's a human being first and foremost. And having known the player and the person for a long time, I just want him to be healthy. I think everybody else echoes that. In terms of what he means to the team, he's obviously a very important player. But with him out, I think one of the things we've seen is Pierre-Olivier Joseph has really stepped up the way he's been able to play. And I think that's really important. So sometimes when injuries happen, other guys get an opportunity to present themselves and compete. And I think that's something that's happening in Pittsburgh right now in a good way, not a bad way. And I think that's obviously really important. I still think they're waiting on the best Jeff Petrie they can see. And I think that's an important part of the Penguins team as well. And maybe this is an opportunity for Jeff to pick up the pace of his game. But no, I just wish Christopher and his family all the best and hope that he can be back sooner rather than later so Penguins fans can really enjoy him finishing off, you know, the last remaining years of his career.
Since you said it, Pierre, and since you phrased it that way, I'm curious, what do you think is the best Jeff Petrie that Penguins fans can see? Because I found him to be an interesting name in conversations this offseason, because when there was talk about whether or not the Penguins would keep the core together, one name came up if they decided to not let Chris Letang go, and that was Jeff Petrie. And then when they decided to keep Letang, they found a way to get Jeff Petrie too. A lot of people in Pittsburgh said, hey, that's great. But I heard a lot of folks in Pittsburgh say, you can't rely on Jeff Petrie to replace Chris Letang when they wanted to keep Letang. So what should I believe is a high end for Jeff Petrie at this point?
There's a lot of high end left in Jeff Petrie. I watched him so much in Montreal. Last year in Montreal was a down year for everybody. It really was. I mean, it's just that the team wasn't particularly good. But if you go back to the season before that, the 2021 season when Montreal was playing great guns and Petrie was doing some amazing things. I mean, he's got the ability to be an excellent one-touch passer. He's got the ability to be an excellent power play guy. He's got the ability to play big minutes in terms of shutdown. You know, I saw him be part of a team that went to the Stanley Cup Final. He didn't do great offensively in that, but he was relied on so much in terms of stopping the opposition. And in that year, it was Tampa, obviously. And I just think he's a bigger body that can skate and move the puck. You know, he's not getting any younger. There's no question about that. But I still think he's a guy that's got some hockey left to give. And he's got that experience of having been to a Stanley Cup Final. He's not going to be overwhelmed by anything that's presented to him. But has this been the best Jeff Petrie I've seen? No, it has not. And I know he can be better for Pittsburgh. I can tell you that.
Final thing before I let you go here, Pierre. I was wondering if you could give us your assessment of Jason Robertson. Before we talk to you again next year, Dallas will come to Pittsburgh on Monday night, and that guy is tearing things up.
He's a legit player. I mean, it's scary. Unless you're watching the Western Conference all the time, you probably don't see Dallas play very much. And what's amazing about him, and I don't know how much people watch the West that are in the East just because of the time zones and everything else. But what's amazing about Jason is he's much bigger than you think. He's almost 6'4". He's over 200 pounds. That's number one. Number two, he's a guy last year, nobody even talks about this. He had 40 goals last year. I think he had 41 just off the top of my head. Well, he's on his way to probably getting 50 goals this year and maybe more. He's an amazing goal scorer. He's a fantastic playmaker as a winger. And one of the things that will blow you away is his composure with the puck on his stick in traffic. He's fantastic with the puck on his stick in traffic. He really is. He's a magician at making plays with the puck.
All right, so my thanks to Pierre McGuire. Listen to him weekly on Tuesdays on the Mark Madden Show. Mark will be back on next week. We'll be back with Madden Monday next week. I'll be on for Mark again tomorrow, and I'll be calling the Duquesne game on Thursday night on ESPN+. We'll talk with Joe Rutter. We'll have our weekly football podcast that we normally do on Tuesdays, but a little bit of an adjustment in the schedule this week because I'm hopping around, not only covering the Tomlin press conference for the Trib on Tuesday, but also hosting Mark's show, so we had to do a couple different things. But Joe will be on eventually for the podcast this week, and we'll have much more before the weekend hits. You can find pregame coverage of Steelers and Ravens with me on WDVE and on ESPN Pittsburgh. We'll be broadcasting from Stage AE at 9 o'clock in advance of the 1 o'clock kickoff for Ravens and Steelers at Acrisure Stadium. This is the Breakfast of Ben's podcast.